Well, this looks familiar. Oh, we're so glad to be here this morning. I haven't preached since the last time I stood up here. So I was telling Mim, I think it was this morning, I said, well, I'm either going to be rusty and stumbling over my words, or I'm just going to go on and on and on and on. You probably know which will happen, but... it's an honor to be here this morning. We're so glad to see the Goldens here. The answer to prayer. So many prayers that we've offered up, and a lot of hard work that went into this whole process. And this morning, we bring it to a conclusion. That's pretty exciting. Yeah, in this lifetime, we don't often see things come to a conclusion. So it's nice to see that. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. And we are actually going to cover verses 1 through 16. So get your Bibles out and get ready. And let's start with a word of prayer. Father, it's a joy to be here. A joy to come together with your people, to sing your praises, to offer you our prayers and our gifts, and now to open up the Word of God to hear from you, to hear what you have to say and what your will is and what your evaluation is. And I pray that you would give us insight this morning into your Word. And may we see how this passage of Scripture relates very directly to what is happening here today. I thank you for the Goldens. I thank you for bringing them here safely. I pray that you would help them as they get settled in and get to know people and get to know the area. I pray that you'd bless their ministry here richly, and that your word would continue to go forth from here and continue to have impact in people's lives, changing people for the glory of God. So, Lord, we commit this time to you and pray for your blessing, for your help, and for your leading in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're here this morning to install Pastor Dave Golden into the position of lead pastor here at Calvary Baptist Church. So as I was thinking about this, I was just thinking about installing things. Now, I've installed several things on my cars, like brakes or spark plugs or various other things. I've also installed some things around the house, kitchen faucet, electric outlets, ceiling fans. And I've installed a few programs on my computer. Now, these installations involve putting the right part in the right place using the right tools so that that part can do the function that it's supposed to do. And often there are things that are very necessary, and if they're not in their proper place and operating correctly, you'll be in a lot of trouble. I think especially of brakes on a car. It doesn't matter whether the car runs or not, but it does matter whether it stops or not. So this morning, as we come to the conclusion of this process that was begun, I guess it was 4 years ago. I was thinking three, but 4 years ago is when I mentioned it to the elders. This often felt like a long process along the way. But now, it doesn't seem possible it's already here. I don't know if any of the rest of you get that sense, that feeling. This process was to seek God's will in the selection of a lead pastor for Calvary Baptist Church. A lot of hard work has been put in, especially by the search team. A lot of prayers have been offered up that God would lead us and that God would make clear his direction for this church. And God has led us to call Pastor Dave Golden to be the lead pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. And as we gather here, we can all say that through this process, we have seen God work in revealing His will, both by opening and closing doors. In fact, there were more closed doors than there were open doors. We have seen not only how God has led in the choice of the Goldens to be here, but we also can see how God has led Mim and I. In fact, we've already found a church. It was the first church we went to, so that was pretty good. Which is interesting because we were on our way to another church. And it happened to be closed. And since it was closed, we had looked at the area and had two, three churches in mind. This second church was open, so we just went there and got there in time for the second service, and I've been enjoying it, getting to know people, and had a chance to sit down with the pastor this past week and talk to him, had a really good conversation. So we're excited about that and how God's going to use us there. So thinking about installation and other installations, I was trying to think of what tools are needed for this installation. Some of you have been working on the parsonage and using all kinds of power tools and so forth. And I don't know, I don't see Peter here this morning. I guess he's probably with his folks in Maine. I was going to see if he brought his hammer drill and some long screws and we can just fasten Pastor Golden right here. But this installation requires spiritual tools, such as the redemption provided through Christ, the gospel, the spiritual baptism into one body, and the revelation of God in the scripture. So we're going to look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. And I want to present three questions for you and hopefully answer those questions about this position of pastor. As we read it this morning, I hope you picked up on verse 11 where he says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." They have a prominent, important place in this chapter. And everything that's mentioned in this chapter makes these positions very necessary. I'm not going to look at apostles, prophets, and evangelists because we're not here to install any of them. So we're here to install a pastor. The first question I want to address is, why are pastors needed? Why are pastors needed? Well, first of all, we need to understand our calling. It mentions pastors and teachers in verse 11. Some translations read teaching pastors because of the role of a pastor is also a role of a teacher, instructing in the scripture. And one thing that a pastor should always be instructing the congregation in is the understanding of their calling by God. That is, their calling to salvation by God. Paul starts out in this chapter, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling to which you are called." We're to walk worthy of this calling. Well, you can't walk worthy of the calling unless you understand what the calling is. Paul is saying, "I therefore," in other words, he's drawing upon all that he's spoken about already in the book of Ephesians in the first three chapters. And he's pulling that in now to talk about the calling and applying this calling to the practical outworking of their Christianity. So, we're to walk worthy of the calling. What is this calling? Well, let me take you to some earlier verses in the book of Ephesians, and I want you to see what this calling is about. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So this calling is a calling by God. God chose us before the foundation of the world. That's when our calling was established, before any of us existed, before anyone existed except God. Secondly, in verses 5 and 6, it says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. This calling exalts the grace of God. Whatever takes place in this calling, grace is at the center. And it is the glory of his grace that is displayed when he calls us to salvation and makes us accepted in the beloved. Verse 11. And I'm just hitting the highlights here. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. This calling is according to God's purpose and God's will, that we may obtain an inheritance, an eternal inheritance that won't fade, it won't pass away, it will be ours forever. That's the calling that he has given us. Verses 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, God's power, toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. This calling was accomplished by God through his own power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It took the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to raise you to life, to give you eternal life, to save you. It can only be done by the power of God. Chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. This calling is through mercy, love, and grace from God. Mercy that we don't deserve. A love that we have done nothing to attract. And grace that is just a free gift from God. This is our calling. Chapter 2, verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This calling that God has placed on your life and on my life and on us collectively who believe in Jesus Christ, it is to display forever the greatness of the glory of God's grace. Amen. We are going to be in heaven, we're going to be on display. The grace of God toward us is going to be on display. And the glory of that grace is going to be seen forever and ever. It's not just about us, is it? It's about God's glory. Chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He says here, this calling produces good works in us. Works that are after God, that God has designed for us. Chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. This calling unifies us. It unifies all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. This goes along with chapter 2, verse 7. This calling is to make known to the principalities and powers the great manifold wisdom of God and how he has brought it about. And forever and ever is going to be a display to the principalities and powers, the glory of what God has done and the great wisdom that God has displayed in what he has done. Chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This calling enables us to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and enables us to be filled with the fullness of God. These are incredible statements. This is an amazing calling that God has given us. And so when he gets to chapter 4, he tells us, this calling is yours. Walk worthy of it. Live like you're one of the called. Live like you belong to God. And all this is true. How do we do that? Well, verse 2 of chapter 4, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, and ever endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We do this humbly. You're not going to walk worthy of your calling in pride. The only way you can walk worthy of your calling is in great humility, recognizing how undeserving you are and how great the grace of God is that he has given to you. And we walk worthy by walking in unity. I've already read verse 3 again. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You get his point there? This is our unity. Our unity is not that we are from similar backgrounds or have similar professions. Our unity is not because we have similar likes or dislikes or preferences. Our unity is all about God and his calling on our life. That's where it comes from, and that's where it's sustained. And we need to understand this. That's why God has given faithful pastors to preach the word of God so that all of us can understand what our calling is. Also, we need to understand Christ's gifts. This is maybe a little bit of a strange passage here. He says, but to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he first descended into the lowest part of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So we are recipients of God's grace. That's what he says here. Each one of us, to each one of us, grace was given. For by grace, you were saved. And grace is not something that you can achieve on your own. It is something that is a free gift that God gives. And by grace, you have been saved. But he also here is speaking about not simply being saved by grace, but also that grace gives us spiritual gifts to serve God with. And so there are gifts that Christ has dispensed on his church. Keep that in mind as we go through this. So Jesus descended in the incarnation and in his death. That was his descent. Jesus ascended in his resurrection and ascension. All right, so that's what all of that is referring to here. And what Paul is doing is he's likening Jesus to a conquering king or general who has just come home from his victory. And he's come home with the spoils of war. Some of those spoils are the ones that he has taken captive. When he comes, he dispenses some of these spoils to his people. And some of the ones that he some of what he dispenses to his people are the ones that he has taken captive. Now, notice what it's saying here. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He led those who were captivated by sin and Satan. And when he won his victory, he took those captives captive, setting them free from their old captivity of sin and Satan. And now he has given them a new captivity. We belong to God. We belong to Jesus. We are his forever. And you know what he does with these captives? With some of them, he makes them gifts to his people. So look at that. And all of this is done so that Jesus can ascend. He ascended far above all the heavens that he may fill all things. And so that's the context of verse 11 where he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He is saying here that among the captives that he has taken captive by his grace and mercy and through his love and given them this high and holy calling, among some of them, he has gifted them to be gifts to the church, to serve the church, and to minister the word of God so that the church may be all that God intends it to be. And so a pastor is a gift. So this gets into our second question. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. What is a pastor for? What's a pastor for? Well, first of all, he's God's gift to equip the saints. And so here in this context, again, Christ is the conqueror. He's distributing these gifts, and some of the gifts he's distributing are gifted men. And he's distributing them and giving them to the church. And among those gifted men are teaching pastors. As I said, we're not going to speak of the others this morning for sake of time and because of the focus that we have this morning. And he gave them, it says in the beginning of verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That is, to equip the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry. It's not saying that the pastor is given to do the work of the ministry. Well, he will, but it's to help others do the work of the ministry, others who are also gifted in ways that God has chosen. So what does a pastor equip the saints with? If indeed a pastor is among those who are equipping the saints, what is it that he's equipping them with? Well, first of all, he's equipping them with a God-centered, Christ-centered theology. I don't believe there is anything more important for us than to be God-centered and Christ-centered. Because when we are, everything else is in its proper perspective. Everything else is in its proper place. But if we are not God-centered, if we are not Christ-centered, then things get out of whack. Something else has taken that place. And that's idolatry. And so he gives us this theology. In fact, he's been speaking about this here, where he said in verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And then in 4, verse 10, where he's speaking of Christ, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And earlier in the what he's been saying in chapters 1 through 3, he's also been speaking about a God-centered, Christ-centered calling. That's the first thing that pastors equip the church with. Secondly, they equip, and this is by the faithful preaching of the Word of God, they equip us with an honest view of ourselves and our lost condition. You are dead in trespasses and sins. You used to walk according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who now works in the sons of disobedience. And you are children of wrath just like others. Understanding our lost condition is very important. Because if we don't understand our lost condition, then we don't understand what salvation is and why we would even need to be saved and what we are saved from. Pastors, through the faithful preaching of the Word of God, equip us with understanding that mercy and grace are gifts freely given to us by God. This is God's work. The mercy comes from Him, and He chooses who to give mercy to, and He chooses who to give grace to. The preaching of faithful pastors also gives us an understanding that all the redeemed exist for the purpose of glorifying the greatness of God's mercy, grace, and love. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. We're here to glorify God. And we glorify Him by displaying how great His mercy is and how great His grace is and how great His love is. Through the faithful preaching of pastors, preaching of the Word of God, they give us an understanding of our need for humility and dependence on Christ who is in us. Pride is so subtle. None of us know how proud we are. I've had glimpses of my own pride. Actually, that's what usually humbles us. Sometimes that's what it takes for God to attack our pride so that we can see that we need to be humble and see how proud we are. We need to be humble. We need to be humble about our own opinions, our own accomplishments, our own understanding and knowledge. We need to be humble people who humbly love God and humbly love one another. And through the preaching of faithful pastors, they equip the church with the understanding that according to His grace, Christ has given us gifts to serve Him and to serve His body. They are grace gifts. You didn't ask God for a particular gift. God gave you the gift that He chose because He makes better choices than we do. So what is a pastor for? First of all, he's God's gift to equip the saints. Secondly, he's God's gift for the edifying of the body. The end of verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is such an interesting statement. Edifying, of course, means to be built up and strengthened. And so when a pastor is faithfully preaching the Word of God and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, the body of Christ is edified. And the body of Christ, of course, is the church. The church is edified. But think about this. He calls the church the body of Christ. We all know that. But think about it. The body of Christ. When we edify the church, we edify Christ. Because we're edifying his body. If you love the church, it's because you love Christ. Because the church is his body. When you criticize the church, you're criticizing Christ. Because it's Christ's body. It's his body. When we are called by God to this high and holy calling, we are placed in this body. This is a phenomenal privilege to be part of the body of Christ. Pastors are given to the church by Christ to equip the saints in the truth so that they can minister to Christ's body in a way that builds it up for God's glory. In this way, pastors lead the church, and in this way, the church in turn submits to their pastors because it's right. And we do so for the work's sake, because the work is important. It's eternal work we're doing. And so we are not simply individuals doing our own thing and our own ministry, working on our own spiritual growth. We are part of the whole, serving for the purpose of building up the body. This is what God's called us to. And faithful pastors who preach and teach the Word of God equip us so that we may be part of this edifying of the body of Christ. Whatever your gift is needed. Third question. What does God accomplish through pastors? Verses 13 through 16. Verse 13 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now I want you to notice something here. Paul is not addressing individuals. He's addressing the whole church. He's not saying as an individual, you need to come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the fullness of the stature of the fullness of, excuse me, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's saying that's what the church should be. That's what this body here should be. Not just one individual here or one individual there, but all of us. Not just the pastor, all of us. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking corporately. So the whole body, collectively, is the representation of Christ. We sometimes talk about, you know, living in this world and to represent Christ and to display Christ. Well, we do that as a church. We do that as a church. And when churches split and church people can't get along with each other and fight, what does that say about Christ? What does that say about Christ's body? What does that say about to the world about what it means to be a Christian and what Christians are like? It's a terrible, terrible testimony to the world. That our testimony to the world is to represent Christ by being equipped through the preaching of God's word and then edifying the body together and growing together So that together we're displaying the fullness of Christ, because no one of us can. And so in this way, we're growing to a perfect man, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, it involves the whole congregation together. It involves unifying around, unifying around Christ. Okay, so all of this comes under a heading that apparently I haven't said. Oh, there we go. A Christ-centered congregation. Thank you. That's why I have these notes up here, because... And so, we are a congregation. We have experienced levels of unity. We've experienced division. We've experienced all those things. But our unity is about Christ. We unify around Christ. We focus our love and attention on Him and serving Him by serving His body. And pastors who faithfully preach and teach the Scripture give their congregation a Christ-centered focus. You can't honestly preach the Word of God without giving people a Christ-centered focus. It's impossible. Unless you twist the Word of God and make it say things it doesn't say. Because the Bible is about Christ. The Bible is about God. And so what does God accomplish through pastors? First of all, a Christ-centered congregation. Secondly, a mature congregation. Verses 14 and 15. That you should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. We are to mature as individuals, but here he's saying we need to mature as a congregation. Together we need to be maturing in Christ. And so we need to be concerned about one another's maturity in Christ, one another's growth in Christ, because he's speaking here collectively. He doesn't want us to be children who are unstable in what they believe. And we've all seen children who, when they were just children young, you know, they were up in church and they loved to come to church and they talked about loving Jesus. And then as they got older, they just fell away from it. Their beliefs changed. There was an instability there because of a lack of maturity. Children can be easily deceived because of their lack of maturity. We learn to be more discerning as we get older so that we're less easily deceived. But that comes with maturity. So instead of being carried about by every wind of doctrine, instead of being deceived from the deceitful plotting, we are to speak the truth in love. The truth, of course, is the truth of Scripture. And we are to speak it. It's the truth of Scripture which is taught by faithful pastors. And that is to be used in love. Love for God and love for others. Used as a concern for the spiritual welfare of others. The spiritual maturity of others. The spiritual stability of others. Not just our own stability and maturity. We are to grow up together as a congregation in Christ. You are to grow up together as a congregation. We are to grow up in Christ, who is the head of the church, His body. The faithful preaching of the Word of God by faithful pastors brings about a mature church. Mature in their understanding, mature in what they believe, and knowing what they believe and why they believe it. And also, what does God accomplish through pastors? A serving, edifying congregation. And I don't think I got that in the notes, did I? Aha, boy. Guess I'm a little rusty. Although I used to always miss something. A serving, edifying congregation. The faithful preaching and teaching of Scripture by gifted pastors produces people who display Christ's presence and Christ's glory as they heed and practice what is taught. Now, I understand. We're never going to fully get there. We're always going to be in process until we get to glory. But oh, how this needs to be our goal. This needs to be our aim, and this needs to be the direction that we take. And notice, as he speaks here in verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of self in love. That's a mouthful. But what is he saying here? Well, first of all, he's pointing out how closely we are connected to one another. Like a body, the parts of a body. That's how closely we are connected together. Also, every part of this body is to do its share, is to do what God has gifted them to do under the headship of Christ and under the leadership of godly pastors and godly elders. And this kind of congregation, he said, edifies itself in love. This kind of congregation lifts up Christ. This kind of congregation exalts his mercy, grace, and love. This kind of congregation displays his power at work in us. And is concerned about one another in the body and wanting one another to be growing in grace and growing in their understanding of the love of God and his mercy. Well, God has gifted Calvary Baptist Church with Pastor Dave Gold. Amen. He is God's gift to you. And I expect you to treat him as such. I don't want to hear that you're treating him otherwise. I won't be happy. And you want me to be happy, right? It's all about my happiness, so... I know Pastor Golden personally. We've been friends for many years. And one thing I know about Pastor Dave, Pastor Golden, whatever you're going to end up calling him, I know he will, to the best of his ability, faithfully preach and teach God's word. Now, he may do it differently than I do. He may have different styles and so forth. Doesn't matter. The Word of God is what's important, right? Not your preference. Don't put your preference above the Scripture and above what is to unify us. And I know that he, along with all the elders of this church, are given to you to lead you to be God-centered and Christ-centered in your theology. Get that and don't ever lose that. Interpret everything in this life in a God-centered, Christ-centered perspective. They are here to help you understand and apply God's great mercy and grace in your life. They are here to unify the church around the faith of the gospel by the faithful exposition of the Scripture. And they are gifts to you, given to you by God. And this morning, as we install Pastor Dave into this position, as a congregation, you are responsible to support him. You're responsible to encourage him and to submit to his leadership and that of all the elders. And you need to do this for the glory of God, who has given you such an awesome calling, given you a position that is above every other position in this world. You are God's children. You're part of God's family. You belong to the body of Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. And so we want you to do this for the glory of God and for the advancement of God's work here at Calvary Baptist Church. This is about displaying Christ so his fullness can be seen through the love, unity, and service that emanates from the body of believers who edify the body in love. This is eternal work. This will last forever and never fade. Don't waste your life on lesser things. This is an exciting time for Calvary Baptist Church, and I hope you're excited. I don't know what God wants to do in the next phase of the church, this next stage that you're moving into, but I know it's going to be good, because as I've said before, God doesn't have any bad plans for his children. His plans for his children are always good. So what he has in store for you is good. So don't sit back now because your lead pastor is here and say, oh, good, now we don't have to work so hard. I hope you work harder, because it'll pay off in eternity. And it'll pay off in this lifetime. I know, speak for Dan, there's a joy in serving Jesus that can't compare with anything else that life has to offer. And there is a satisfaction when you see God use your gifts to benefit other people, to bless them, and help mature them. So give Pastor Dave that blessing. Give him your attention. Give him your love. And I'm sure you'll be amazed at what God wants to do here. So let's have a word of prayer. And then I think Carl Baker's going to step up here. Father, this morning, as we have looked at this passage of Scripture, we do thank you for the instruction that it gives us. I don't think there's a church on earth that perfectly displays what you have laid out here in Ephesians chapter 4. But I pray for this congregation that would be their aim, that they would continually move in that direction and seek to honor and glorify God above everything else. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Dave and his family. We thank you for bringing them here. Thank you for giving them to this church as a gift from you. I pray that you would strengthen him and bless him and use him mightily for the work that you've called him to. And may he sense that this is why he was born. This is why he exists, that God had intended from all eternity past for this moment and for this time and for this congregation to call Pastor Dave Golden to be their pastor. So Lord, give us that sense of destiny and a sense that you are in it and you have something to fulfill here. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be up here. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor Cook. What a humbling and powerful message for all of us. And I guess this day isn't just about Pastor Dave. It's about all of us. So at this time, I'm going to ask Pastor Dave to come up and the elders, and we are going to pray over him and commit his ministry to the Lord.
praise you today. We praise you because you are worthy of all honor, praise, and glory. And Father, we praise you for this church. Lord, we praise you for preserving it, for using it all these years. And Lord, the different ways that it's been able to carry out its calling. And Father, we praise you for the Goldens. We praise you for Dave and his willingness to come. And Father, for his heart for you and his desire to serve you. And Father, we leave this time, this next stage of ministry in this church to you, Lord. Lord, that you would strengthen Dave. And Lord, that you would give him the wisdom that he needs, Lord, as he steps into this new role. Father, help us all as a church, Lord, to work with him, to strive with him, Lord, in all that we do, Lord, to bring glory to you, to further your kingdom, Lord, and to preach the gospel. So, Father, we commit this time, Lord, we commit this man, we commit this church to you. In Jesus' name.
Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us to this place in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful answers to prayer. And Lord, today, as Moses and Aaron and all the elders of the children of Israel asked your blessing upon the congregation, Lord, we ask your blessing. Lord, may you bless and keep Pastor Dave and his family. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon him. Lord, may you lift up your countenance, Lord, with all your favor and grace upon him, and give him peace. And as you do, Lord, we know that we as a congregation will be blessed, and we will be motivated to follow him as he follows you. Oh God, thank you so much. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we glorify you this morning for how you have led, how you have answered prayer,
and how you brought this process to a conclusion. Thank you for Pastor Dave, for calling him to the ministry and for calling him to this ministry here. And we ask for your special blessing and strengthening in the days ahead as he gets to know people and gets into the everyday workings of the church and the ministry of the word and prayer. Lord, I know that the ministry is beyond us. It's beyond what we can accomplish. It's beyond what Pastor Dave can accomplish. Mm-hmm. It must be done by the power of the Spirit of God in us. And so I pray that you'd fill him with your Spirit. Mm-hmm. And as he faces struggles or difficulties, may he sense your presence with him. When there are things that just don't seem to have a solution, may you just see that you are the solution and that mm-hmm. we just put our faith and trust and confidence in you. Yeah. And we ask that you would bless richly, that you would strengthen by your own power that raised Jesus from the dead, mm-hmm. and that you'd be glorified in the ministry that Pastor Dave has here. Mm-hmm. We pray in Jesus' name.
Father, we are so grateful, so thankful to you for the years that we've had with the folks here. Mm-hmm. You've gifted your church with Pastor Cook and them and their family. And Lord, now you're gifting us with Pastor Dave and his family. And we offer our thanks to you, Lord, that you would be so gracious to us. We know, Lord, that This is your will for the church, to have pastors, to have leaders. But we know that many churches struggle with leadership. And we can only say thank you, Lord, because as a church, we are so far from perfect. We are insufficient in and of ourselves, and yet, Lord, you have been so good to us. And so we praise you today, Lord, that once again we have here a pastor that you called. But Lord, we are not presumptuous to think that this is something we can take for granted. As we've just said, the ministry is difficult. It is beyond us. And we know, Lord, that the work that you've given Pastor Dave to do can only be accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are calling for that power, Lord, even at this moment, that you would empower him to do all that you are calling him to do and allow him to fulfill the ministry you have for him here according to your grace and for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name.
Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that you have a plan and that it's good. We may not always see what it is in the moment, Lord, but we can be confident that your plan is good. And we thank you for, again, how you have blessed your people. And Lord, we look forward to seeing your blessing continue. Lord, we pray that as a church, we would support Pastor Dave and his family, Lord, and be an encouragement to him. And Lord, we thank you for him, and just, Lord, we trust that he, as well, will be an encouragement to us that he would call. And Lord, we just ask that you would help each of us here to fulfill our part as a part of the body for your glory. And we just thank you again for this time, this day, and for how good you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, since it is a special day, we figured it'd be okay to take a couple liberties with some extra time today. And, you know, in this church, we try not to let tradition take the place of good, sound doctrine, but there are some things that it just seems wouldn't be the same without. And with that in mind, there's someone else, a very special, and I mean special, part of our congregation would like to introduce themselves and say a couple words and just let the Goldens know about some things that have been happening to prepare for their arrival. So without further ado, Zelda Zugelhofer.
Sounds good, Zelda.
Okay, and don't forget, put my flu on it so it's
but Kevin Ken and Joan Blum did them, and you can see they're perfectly white, they're not falling in like they used to, they're absolutely level.
Whoa, look at that!
New fan.
They are so talented!
White.
Woo, woo, woo!
They knew what they were doing.
Wow! Even though the puppet team could have killed it, I'm sure it's just fine the way it is! Thank you, dear Lori! And thank you for everybody's help getting this all done and looking so great for the Goldens!
So much for your help, though.
Taking all the fun out of this. We have one piece left.
It's okay. We can use that, save it for later in case we make a mistake.
You make mistakes?
I do. You know what? The true measure of a good craftsman?
Yeah.
Is how well he covers up his mistakes.
That's why you have all that sawdust over there?
That's true. All the sawdust, painters caulking, whatever we need.
Get him! Hey, up there in TV land, welcome to our demolition rebuild. What do you want to call it? Remodeling. And here is the mastermind behind everything. Chip Lowry! Chip!
Well,
how are you today?
I'm doing great!
Alright!
Yep.
Working hard?
This is part of the demolition derby, not the pineland derby.
Oh, yes! Hey, that's part of the pineland derby, too!
And we're putting it all back together.
Yep. Alright!
All over the place.
Don't worry, Chip! I'll be right there helping you out!
Yep. Jelba, you're like one of the small cogs on the big wheel.
Oh, yahoo! And my whistle!
Plays a part.
We'll get this thing ship in no time.
Would you like a little tea?
Oh, sure. Coffee. Lots of sugar.
Okay.
Coffee.
How about half a cookie? I ain't telling that. Yeah. You got it. Tastes just as good.
Where are the donuts? You forgot the donuts.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, now that we've taken a tour on the inside, now we're going to show you the outside. Of course, we have to beautify both. So, we had someone come right back to do what he loves best. Hester Cooper!
So at this time, I'm going to ask Pastor Dave to come up.
Just you.
I can say hi and then maybe introduce everyone.
Okay. Carl, you got to turn that mic on.
Sorry.
There we go.
Wow. Thank you, everyone, so much for welcoming us. We're just overwhelmed with this church. I was a member of this church a long time ago and was reluctant to leave. I left to go to seminary. At that time, I was single and had, you know, all kinds of options and decided to go out to California to get the best training I thought I could for ministry. Because of how, you know, important it is. Along the way, I called many times and talked to Pastor Cook and really had a longing personally to be back here and really just to be a member of the church. And I still would like that and would prefer that. When I was out at seminary, I would often brag about the pastors who were here. And I just want you all to know just how highly I esteem Pastor Cook and Pastor Tim in just their character, the love that they have for people in the church, the love that they have for the Word of God, the commitment that they have to minister the Word of God and for the gospel of Christ in the world. And really, when Pastor Cook prayed or someone mentioned that the ministry is beyond us, I feel that way 100%. And we can ask with Paul, who is sufficient for these things? And my first answer is definitely not me. But by the grace of God and by the power of His Spirit and by the power of His Word, it's really just my heart to continue what Pastor Cook has laid down and Pastor Tim. This church and the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of His Word keeps that very narrow way wide open for sinners to come in and be saved, and that's my heart, and also for the church to be built up. And, you know, nowadays in America, we need that more than anything, and that's just my own personal commitment, is to be a servant of the Word of God so that people can hear His voice and be saved and know the truth. And so that, you know, is why I'm here. It's beyond me, but that's what I hope to be about, so... Thank you so much for everybody who's labored and given your time for us. We are totally undeserving of that. Julie said that the other day. We do not deserve to be treated this well by this church, but it's just a token of God's grace, and we're very thankful, really, just to be part of a church family here, to be back here, and to serve you with in any way that we can with the gifts that God has given us. So anyways, I hope to... talk to you all more personally. I want to share my heart with you for ministry and for what we're doing, so please feel free to get to know us as much as possible. We love the church, and we love this church, so that's kind of our heart. I don't think I'm supposed to talk about any of that now, but my family's supposed to come up and introduce them to you, so why don't you guys come on up, okay? We'll start with the oldest. This is my wife, Julie. She's younger than me. This is my oldest, Aletheia. And that's a Greek word. It means truth. It was a flashcard as I was studying in seminary. And we call her Lathy for short, which is like Lacey, but with a TH. All right? So Lathy. And she is 13. Second one is Hannah. She is 12. Then we have Michaela, and you are?
9.
Mariah?
7.
Isaiah? 4.5. And then Selah?
5 months.
5 months. So that's our family, and they're very excited to be in school and to make new friends, and to make the most of all the opportunities that they have. We're very excited to have a little bit bigger house, and we've already enjoyed finding the secret passageways there at the parsonage and different rooms and everything. So anyways, thank you again. So. Thank you.
All right. One last thing before we close. So today we are unveiling brand new Calvary Baptist Church themed t-shirts with our new logo, and we have one for each of you as the first recipients of our shirt. So Pastor Dave, Julie, Alethea, Hannah, Michaela, and Mariah. I'm going to stick these all over the place so I remember you guys' names. But I don't remember my own kids' names, so. And Isaiah, and of course, a little onesie. And just as a promotion, there's a sign-up sheet in the wing if you would like to order a t-shirt. The instructions are on there for you. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Let's just give them one more round of applause as a welcome. All right. And we'll have our last song, and we will close our service for today.